Well, welcome, guys. Welcome again to Echo Church. I'm just overcome with gratitude to be in the house of God today. Amen? Amen. It is so good to worship God together, and I'm just so excited to give you guys the word. And so as we open up today, I actually wanted to try something new. I wanted to try a call and response prayer based on Psalm 16, just to get us used to this, like, participation, okay? So I'm going to open up. You guys can follow along with the screen, and then I'll pray for us, and then we'll get into the word. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. For you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Amen. Let's pray. Would you join me in just welcoming the Holy Spirit? Just take a moment to center yourself. Receive God's love over you. God who is here. God, who loves us with an unwavering and ridiculous love. Lord, we come here for you and you alone, God. And it is our earnest desire to love you. It is our earnest desire to know you, God. So, Lord, we just invite your Spirit, Lord, to come. Lord, would you plant the seeds? Would you help this church grow in your spirit and in your countenance? And we thank you, God, for the privilege of knowing you, of being a part of this church, of being a part of your people. All this is for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today we're finishing our devotion series, and just like all the series we finish, we do like a fun treat after. So we're going to do donuts after service. Woohoo! Donuts and devotion. Heidi Doe made that up. Donuts and devotion. So after service, please join us in the gym. We're going to have yummy and delicious donuts. But the reason why I said that is because we're closing the devotions, and we started off with Pastor Isaac. He gave us a word on prayer. Man, that's really changed my prayer life this week. He said, pray faithfully, full of faith. So I was praying this week. I was like, God, man, you got a word for your people. I have this dream about what our church is going to look like. And so I was praying that for our church. And then Pastor Joanne had a beautiful word last week on scripture, how scripture is formative, it's foundational, it's not just informational, that we would be like the wise who built our houses on rock and not on sand. And so today, I get to preach on fellowship. Fellowship, woohoo! So, as you guys know, devotion, this devotion series has been, how do we be a people committed to devotion to God? And fellowship might not be the first thing you guys might think of, at least for me. I was like, maybe worship. Or maybe justice, I don't know, people devoted to God. Fellowship, really? It kind of sounds like, I don't know, like soft marshmallowy. So it's fairly easy to assume that fellowship, like why, how does that tie into a life of devotion with God? So let's dive in. How is fellowship integral to a life of devotion to God? So the word of the day comes from Acts 2, 42 through 47. And today is from the NLT version. All of the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, or koinonia, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. All right, so what's going on in this passage? So right before this, Jesus has just ascended, but right before he ascended, he's like, wait, don't go before you receive a gift. And the gift was the Holy Spirit. And so the believers, they're in the upper room, you know, they're praying, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes upon them, flames of fire on their head, they start speaking in tongues, and the church is born. It's the day of Pentecost, and then this is where we find ourselves in today's passage. The early church, newly born, filled with the Holy Spirit, seeing signs and wonders. What is the first fruit that comes from this? Is fellowship. So the word here used in Greek, koinonia, means community, participation, communion, particularly with fellow Christians. So the early church devoted themselves to fellowshipping with one another, sharing meals with great joy and generosity, praying and spending time with one another. Now again, fellowship might seem kind of like kumbaya. And it might seem like I'm sort of preaching to the choir because I'm preaching to you guys at church. It's pretty easy, right? We like each other. We're friendly with each other. It seems simple and logical enough, right? So with that said, let's just take a step back and just assess our current context. Because we know that God's word is living and active and nothing is happenstance. And so we believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us something today. There is a word for us today, even us here in this church. So here in America, across the nation, across denominations, we're seeing a major decline in church attendance or fellowship. All of us have, at one point or another, walked away from the church. Maybe we know some of our good friends who've walked away from the church. And typically, it's not really because of a faith crisis. You know, when I talk to my friends who stop going to church, it's usually not like, I don't love God anymore. It's usually like, you know, I just don't really have the time. I haven't really found the community, or I'm really tired. The weeks have been hard. You know, we're all kind of burnt out a little bit, right? And so what's the point? When we forget the value of Christian fellowship, coming to church can feel kind of insular, kind of triggering, maybe pointless. And churches are a notorious breeding ground for broken people. And you don't have to, but raise your hand if you've been personally hurt by the church, maybe frustrated, annoyed. And on top of that, there's this growing belief that I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. These days, we can listen to any sermon, listen to any worship album. We can go to church in the comfort of our living rooms, read countless theology books and devotionals. And these are all very beautiful and good things. But I want to point out that this is actually a foreign concept. As American Christians, we like to believe that it's just about my devotional life, my calling, my salvation. And we're steeped in this very prevalent Western belief that my faith is personalized and individualized. And again, I want to underline the fact that this is incredibly foreign to all Christians across cultures and history, especially the early church in Acts. We see here in God's very word that he sent his Spirit not to individuals, but to a people. And Paul says that each of us, yes, a person, but we, the people, make up the body of Christ. In his nature and in his design, God made it so that this collective, imperfect, we, the church, are his bride and his body, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? And it is in this key component lies its core beauty and its core weakness, that we absolutely need one another in this life of faith and devotion to God. And it really feels like a flaw in our operating system, does it not? I kind of wish we would have grown out of it. But I go back to that question. Can you be a Christian without going to church, without fellowshipping with fellow Christians? But I would argue that the better question is, can I be a disciple of Christ, a person devoted to God without the church? Simply put, no matter how thriving your faith life is, no matter how self-sufficient you want to be, how deep your personal love for God is, you cannot do this on your own. That is not how God designed it. And if you don't like it, you got to take it up with him. You cannot call yourself a disciple of Jesus and not be committed to fellowship. It is incongruent. Why? Because you cannot practice God's love in theory. We don't get to choose to do this by ourselves. Put it in other terms, we are in a perpetual group project. I need you, you need me to pass. For better, for worse, we are in this together. And how do I know this? Jesus did this. Jesus, the Son, being in perfect fellowship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, models for us the importance of fellowship. And of course, he alone atoned for our sins, but he ministered, lived alongside his fumbling disciples. If our very Messiah, our King, our God with us, divine, all-knowing, all-powerful, had to walk at the slow pace of these loaves, do you think you can do it by yourself? But the beautiful truth is, more than that, is Jesus chose not only to save us, but also to be in friendship with us. He not only chose to do ministry for us, but he chose to do it with us. This is our Savior. This is our Messiah. So Jesus, our God with us, the very reflection of God's nature, chose to come eating and drinking. And we see this all throughout the Gospels. He's always just having a good time, right? In between all the miracles, he is constantly eating with sinners, constantly walking with his disciples. And so when we look at the early church and the way they responded to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the joy, the gathering, the shared meals, the enjoyment of one another, it reminds us that the Spirit makes it possible for us to enjoy fellowship with one another. The Christian life is an invitation into a Christ-centered community with whom we belong and become, with whom we serve and are served, with whom we love and learn to love together. Now, if the thought of being a part of church kind of makes you like have a reaction, whether it's a positive reaction or a negative reaction, can I just say there's nothing wrong with that reaction? Because I too had that reaction this week as I was preparing this. It is this truth that hits on this nerve, this like reverberating longing, a nerve that we all have but hate to admit. This nerve that says, I want to belong. Yes. I want to be part of God's people. I want to be rooted in his body and his community. And this nerve is sensitive and it is painful when it feels like that longing is not met. And so we see this image of the early church. And I don't know if you're like me, but I was reading it and I was like, man, that sounds like the dream, does it not? Especially in our day and age when loneliness is an epidemic, when the idea of a village feels a little bit brittle and breakable. So what do we do? What is the invitation today? C.S. Lewis writes this beautifully about love, but I think it translates to what I'm talking about here. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal or a dog. just looking at all you dog lovers here. I love dogs too. Don't take that wrong. I'm sorry. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or a coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, dark, safe, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. So is fellowship hard? It is so hard. I would argue it's probably easier to read the scriptures or pray on our own. But when we look at Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, when we look at the early church, when we look at love itself, even if it's hard, isn't it worth it? Because isn't that what Jesus saw in us? The joy set before him as he endured the cross. So, if that's the dream, what is the purpose of fellowship? So Christian fellowship is a response to the radical and ridiculous love that God has poured into us. I'll read that again. Christian fellowship is a response to the radical and ridiculous love that God has poured into us. It's how we move from theory into action. It is a reflection of heaven itself here on earth. And as we enjoy friendship with one another, as an added bonus, it actually draws others into the family of God. This world is longing to belong. And one of the ways that we can witness to the world is through the way we love and fellowship with one another. Devotion for God always leads to other people because we serve a loving God who draws us into that love and who inspires us to share that love with the world. Amen. So it says in today's passage, they worshiped together, they met in homes, they ate, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their number. When I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking what's the purpose, right? Like, it can feel so like, is it just us enjoying each other? Is that enough? But this part kept resonating with me. It is from the goodwill that they enjoyed with one another that each day the Lord entrusted more and more people to the house of God. And I was reminded of the story of, in the beginning of COVID, we lost one of our beloved members. And I was praying, I was like, God, she should have been here. I wish she was here. And I was thinking about that time, and I was thinking about how our church really came around her and her family. And I was thinking about how, we prayed every day on Zoom. We would come on, and then we would send her voice messages, and her sister would play them while she was in the ICU. And I remember we pooled our money together, not just to love on her family, but to love on the staff taking care of her. And I remember we, didn't hold back. We got them the good stuff. Not the cheap treats, We got them, really good boba and, really good donuts and really good coffee. And the love that we had for her overflowed into the love for the people who were caring for her. And I don't know why God didn't heal her. And I don't know if any of the medical staff came to know Christ. But I do know, because they told us, that they were so moved by our community and that they got to see the people of God love each other with a radical and a generous kind of love. Amen? And so how do we fellowship? There are three things that I think we can learn from fellowship from the early church in Acts. And so Acts 2, it says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. So there's three things that I diluted from this passage. Is show up, share your stuff, and share your need. Can you say that with me? Show up, share your stuff, and share your need. When I was thinking about the sermon, I was like, oh, I should have thought of a different word other than stuff. Like, I just thought, I don't know, it just didn't occur to me that stuff was not very eloquent, but here we are. Oh yeah, so if you guys have your puzzle pieces, if you guys can pick it up, I threw them all around the sanctuary. There's probably a lot here. Worship team, hopefully you guys have some over there. But if you guys just take a moment, just study it. And if anyone can tell me what the puzzle is, I'll give you a prize. Maybe of monetary value. Anyone? I'll give you 5 seconds. Garden? No, it is not garden. Flower? No, it is not. A barn? No. Map? No, it's not. Jesus. That's great. All right, nobody won. It is Happy Camper. It's just a bunch of flowers and people camping out in the national forest. Anyways, so in this very cheesy sermon illustration, I want you guys to look at this puzzle piece, and I want you to remember that it's very design. As puzzle pieces, we are meant to come together with other pieces to make the image. But have you ever done a puzzle and gotten toward the end and saw that you were missing pieces? It is so infuriating. It makes you want to like throw the whole puzzle away. So you might not think that it matters or it doesn't matter when you don't show up, but it makes a difference. It is when we come together, when we fellowship, we see the image of God. And it takes time and effort and slowing down to make these pieces come together. So by the way, if you want this as a mental reminder, because I was thinking about this all day, I was like, oh, I'm like a puzzle piece, just individually precious, but collectively whole. So if you want to remember this, you, by all means, take it. But if you don't, please, I don't know, give it back to me, because I'm like, what do I do with this puzzle piece? There's like a part of me that's like, it's so wasteful. It's just trash. Okay. Anyways, fellowship looks like showing up. The first one, show up. So when you come to church, stay a while. Go get chips with us in the gym. Please. Show up to the source. You know, actually, I was really surprised. There were so many people at the source last week. It was so fun. I got to talk to people I don't normally get to talk to. Let's just fellowship. Show up. Show up for donuts today. Show up for recess. Show up for pantry koinonia. My goodness, show up to serve. But also, show up when you're not serving. It makes a difference because together, we are collectively the image of God. Amen? Another illustration I was thinking this week, 130 Mennonites showed up at Capitol Hill to call for ceasefire in Gaza. And it said that, the article said that there were 200 more outside. And I was thinking 130, that was like kind of a fun like amount of people, because I think that's about how many people, give or take, are in this room. And I just thought it would be fun to imagine if all of us went to go protest at Capitol Hill, we all get arrested for calling for ceasefire in Palestine. And it's just such a beautiful image, right? Like, there is a potency that happens when a collective body of Christ comes to protest for ceasefire. It would be different if there was maybe like 5 or 6. It makes a difference when the collective shows up. So I want to ask you a couple questions. What would it look like for you to show up? What would it look like for Echo to show up? Show up in your ecclesias. Show up in your koinonia groups. Show up for the prayer nights coming up in Lent. Let's show up and let's see the body of Christ rise up. Let's see this collective image of Jesus together. All right, secondly, share your stuff. So the early church, filled with the Spirit and love for God, couldn't help but respond with generosity. And I love what theologian Willie James Jennings writes. He says, "The giving is for the sole purpose of announcing the reign of the Father's love through the Son in the bonds of communion together with the Spirit. People caught up in the love of God not only began to give thanks for their daily bread, but daily offered to God whatever they had that might speak that gracious love to others. What is more dangerous than any plan of shared wealth or fair distribution of goods and services is a God who dares impose on us divine love. Such love will not play fair." So what can you offer that might speak of God's gracious love to others? While the early church did it through shared wealth, we can do it through our time, our energy, our presence, our prayers. So when I first started coming out to Echo, I was really debating whether to like share this story because I always get hate for this, but I came because of a boy, so I didn't have any like friends here. And sometimes the Lord works in mysterious ways, but much long after the relationship ended, I still wanted to show up, and I went to school at UCSD, so I was commuting from San Diego, and I didn't know anyone, especially because it was awkward because the relationship ended, but I was like, God, I really want to be a part of what you're doing here at this church. And so I remember I would make the drive up on Sundays, and I remember when we were at Praise Chapel, there was like a dirt parking lot. Do you guys remember that? If you were there. But there was like this long road, it was dirt, and I remember I'd walk and I'd be like all sad like in my head, and all the dirt is like getting kicked up, and I was like, God, do I even belong here? Like, what am I even doing here? And like all of that, like I had all this shame and like triggers that was part of the church, and you know, I was just kind of in my head. And I remember like I would step into these walls and there would be like a smiling face, like, oh my gosh, welcome, hello, let's like go find you a seat. And I'd be like, okay. And then I would sit and I'm like, oh, should I go to the bathroom? Like, I don't want to talk to anyone. Like, oh my gosh, like, are my clothes cool enough? I don't know. And then, I don't know. So like, I was just so many layers of shame, of fear, of wanting to belong, but not sure if I did. And every Sunday, there would be just like friendly people welcoming me into the fold. And now, you know, I was thinking about this, and I think about that visceral feeling of walking from the parking lot into the sanctuary probably every time I come to church. Because now I get to be part of welcoming, and I get to be part of, you know, the ministry of welcoming people into the house of God. And I will never forget that feeling of what it's like to step into these doors. Because you don't know what people are carrying. You don't know what kind of week they had, what weariness they have, maybe what church hurt they have. But if I could be a part of one person feeling welcomed in the house of God, that is my sacrifice to God. Amen. And I'm just eternally grateful for the people who would welcome me with just wide, pearly smiles and would change the countenance of my heart as I would step in. So right now, I want you guys to think about this. How can you give of yourself in a way that speaks of God's grace? Is there someone here who needs your time, your prayers, your presence? And once I finish the sermon, we're going to have a time where we're going to pray for each other. I'm going to give you guys full warning so you can prepare now. But we're going to actually do this and put this into practice. Because someone here is in need of your prayer and your encouragement. Not mine, not one of the pastors, but someone next to you, someone in this body. So lastly, share your need. What we might not recognize immediately in this passage, it says those in need. That means that people had to be honest with their needs. We all have needs, but we're so afraid to show them. We're so afraid to show our weakness. We don't want to be needy, and we don't want to ask for help. But I shared earlier, I used to commute from San Diego to the OC. Or no, yes, is that right? From San Diego to OC. I remember I was a poor college student, and you know, I could swing it when it was once a week on Sundays. But then I started orthopraxis, which is on Friday nights. I remember I had this 1999 like SUV that just like guzzled gas. And I remember I had like $40 in my bank account. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I can't go up and then down and then up and then down. Like I can't afford it. And I remember in that season, I was like, God, what do I do? Oh. And then, you know, like I would be thinking about this like, as Friday would come, I was like, you know, maybe I should just, like, maybe I'll get another job. Maybe I'll figure it out. But then in that season, I just sucked it up. And I asked people for help. And I remember I stayed at Uriah's house. And I would stay at Nicole's house and my ortho girl's house. And I remember having to suck up my pride and just ask for help. And tell them what my need was. And people in this church generously opened their homes. And it was, I can't stress how hard it was to admit that I needed a place to stay. I was the kind of person in college that would rather, like, go home in between classes on the bus or, like, hide in the library because I didn't want to, like, ask someone to hang out or anything. I was just so afraid of showing my weakness and showing that I was a lonely, sad girl. But yet, here, I was like, God, I know you are doing something here. I want to be a part of it. I'm just going to humble myself and share my need. And the people, man, I'm just so grateful. So, some of us are so stuck in our heads. Sometimes we expect people to read our minds. You know, we all have our needs, and we're like, read my needs. We do this, right? We do this with our own families. We do it with our friends. But if they cannot read our minds, us homeboys and homegirls cannot read your minds either. So be vulnerable. Ask for help. Tell people what your needs are. And help the church be the church. Help us to be in fellowship with one another. And, you know, I shared at the beginning, I was praying kind of like faithful prayers this week. And I was like, God, I pray that our church would be known as a ridiculous, like almost like uncool loving church. Like so loving, it's weird. Like so loving, your coworkers are like, wow, your church, like they showed up for you in that way. Like, that's cool, you know? I really want our church to be a beautiful reflection of God's ridiculous and scandalous and crazy love. Amen? So we're going to show up, we're going to share our stuff, and we're going to share our need. Amen? All right. So if we can have some, like, atmospheric music, I'm going to transition this time for us. If you guys could turn to someone, preferably not someone you came with, but share with them your need, something you need prayer for. And just ask for it, like with expectation, trusting that the Spirit wants to move in your life. Do you feel like blockage in your life? Do you feel like a tenderness, like an ache or something? Just what is the need that is pressing on you? And let's invite the person next to us to pray for us. All right, so I'm going to give us like, we're going to go over a little bit, but let's do it in like 2 minutes, okay? Share your need and let's pray for each other, and then Pastor TJ is going to come up and dismiss us.
Okay, I'm going to pray and close the service. So if you guys can pray quietly or if you guys can pray afterwards. Lord, we thank you for this key word from Heidi about fellowship and about really showing your love to others, the love that we've experienced to show to others, God, because every single person longs to be loved, and every single person in the world longs to know your love, God. I pray that others would know about you through our love here at Echo Church, God, through our church, through our love in our koinonias, through our dinners, through our ecclesias, in every avenue, that your love may abound and that your spirit may be moving so that numbers may be added daily, just like in Acts chapter 2. Let us be that church in Acts chapter 2. So may the Lord bless you. May he cause you to prosper richly this week in every good spiritual gift there is in Christ Jesus. May he watch over you, guard and protect you and all whom you love. May his countenance be upon you, his face be turned toward you, such that you would see in Jesus how very much he loves you, accepts you right where you are, and invites you to follow him. May he be gracious unto you. May you sense his favor, mercy, and goodness as you walk with him this week. May the Lord grant you peace. May you be at rest and centered in Jesus, who is our Lord, and through him we ask all these things. And may Christ victorious in you. Amen. Amen, everyone.